tonight. Don't forget that next week, most of my questions will be on tonight's story. And then remember also that next week I hope somebody will know the portion of Scripture that we're learning. And if you do have a question about tonight's story or a question how to find the places in the Bible, you stay behind. I'll be glad to help you or one of the counselors here. No talking or whispering for our lesson for tonight. In last week's lesson, we found out how that Abram and Sarah, they abused and used Hagar. You see, they tried to help God out. God said to Abram, I'll make of thee a great nation. But you see, Abram failed the test of patience. Why? Abram couldn't understand how could God possibly give them a child when he now was 86 years of age and Sarah was 76. How could that be? Oh, but my friends, with God, all things are possible. Is anything too hard for the Lord? No. There's nothing too hard for God. So we find that when Abram was 86 years of age, instead of Sarai having a child, Hagar had one. Then we found out how they used her and abused her. It was difficult for her. And Hagar, she couldn't stand the pressure and how Sarai treated her. So we found out last week how Hagar ran from home. She crossed the Sinai, came to the plain of Shur, which was just on the edge of Egypt. She was going back to Egypt that speaks of the world. And we find it was there that the Lord met her at the well. And the Lord said to her, where are you coming from, Hagar? And where are you going? And she said, I flee from my mistress because she's been so hard on me. And the Lord said to her, the angel of the Lord that spoke to her said, you humble yourself and you return and go back to your mistress. And you will have a baby, yes? And the son that will be born unto you, you will call Ishmael, which means God hears. And I'm going to make of him a great nation, Hagar. And when he grows up, he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man's hand, and every man's hand will be against him. Now, if you want to know a prophecy that's being fulfilled today, there's one that's being fulfilled right now. For you see, that sin of Abram's, which was over 4,000 years ago, we still bear the results of it today. For you see, the Arabs today, as well as the Muslims, what they can say is that Abraham is their father, for they are the descendants of Ishmael. Yes? And we find out that when the angel of the Lord spoke to Hagar then, that also there was a response from Hagar. And she said, thou God seest me. Oh, you know, that's a good thing for everybody to understand, that God sees you. He knows all about you. He knows all about me. And Hagar said, thou God seest me. And then she said, have I also looked after him that seeth me? Oh, that's a good question to ask yourself. Have you ever looked to God? The one who sees you and knows all about you, have you ever looked to him? Well, Hagar did there at that well. And how that reminded us of the woman at the well in the Gospel of John, where that woman got a drink that made her never thirst again. And I want to say tonight, if you come to him and you receive him, that's how you drink of him. The moment you receive him, and he will satisfy, yes, you'll get a drink that will make you never thirst again. Well, Hagar, she returned back home. She went back to Sarai, and she did as Sarai asked her to do. She was obedient. And we find that the next 13 years passed by quickly. And we find that when now Abram was 90 years old and nine, that the Lord appeared to him. And this is what the Lord said. I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And when Abram saw and heard the Lord, why, what Abram did is he fell down on his face before him. Yes. And there we find that the Lord continued to talk to Abram. And he said to Abram, what I'm going to do, Abram, I'm going to make of you a great nation. Your name no longer is going to be called Abram, but it's going to be called Abraham, which means a father of nations. I'm going to change your wife's name, Sarai, too, to Sarah. Yes, I'm going to change your name and her name. And Abram, I'm going to make a covenant with you. And whatever I establish in this covenant, it will be forever, an everlasting covenant. Yes, what I'm going to do, Abram, I'm going to give to your wife, Sarah, a son. She will bear a child. Why? When Abram heard that, he laughed for joy. To think that his wife, who was now 89 years of age, or would be, that she could have a son at 90. My, oh, there's nothing too hard for God. And so the Lord God said to Abram, what I'm going to do is I'm going to make a covenant with you, and for a sign of the covenant, I want you to have every one of the males in your household and your son Ishmael, I want them all to be circumcised for a sign of the covenant, which will be established forever. Well, Abram, he believed God, what God had said that he would do. Now, at this time, Ishmael was 13 years of age. 13 is an interesting number in the Bible because 13 speaks of rebellion. And when Abraham now asked his son to be circumcised, I don't know whether he rebelled or not. But regardless, we find that he was circumcised because, you see, Abraham was the head of that family, and what he said went. And so every male, everyone that he had as servants, all those men and fellows, they were circumcised. Now, I'm sure that most of you understand what circumcision is. Circumcision, physically speaking, is the cutting off of the foreskin of the male organ. And it's got a spiritual application. Because you see, what it means spiritually is this, that we need to be dead to the flesh. For the love of Christ constraineth us. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him that died for them and rose again. So how we want to apply this is spiritually is to be dead to ourselves. Now what does that mean?
simply this, that you're saying from now on, God is going to have control of my life. If you come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're going to want to walk in His ways. Remember when Abram had the Lord appear to him, why, he said, "You walk before me, Abram, and be thou perfect." What does it mean to walk before God? Well, when you walk before God, that means He scrutinizes everything that you do. It's a great thing to walk with God. That's when we have fellowship with Him. When we walk after God, that's when we follow Him. But many times we find people who walk ahead of God. Oh, we don't want to walk ahead of God. We want to walk before God and with God in fellowship and let God have control of our life. Now, I want to say, if you let God lead you, guide you, and direct you, you're going to find out that you're going to have a full, tremendous life. You'll have a happy life if you're walking in His ways. So in this lesson that we have, every one of these men were put on a sick bed. Yes, they were all circumcised. Now, I want to make it clear to you that Ishmael, just because he was circumcised, did not make him a child of God. Neither did it make those servants, those men, a child of God, just because they were circumcised. They were under the covenant, yes, which means that the Israelites would get their land and that God would make of Abram a great nation and all those things that He promised that the covenant included. But it did not say that because they were circumcised that they would be a child of God. And I want to say, my friends, it's the same thing with baptism. Many times you'll find people who get baptized and they feel that because they're baptized, that they are a child of God. Well, you can be baptized as a baby, or you can be baptized when you're confirmed, or you can be baptized later on in life, but if you've never received Jesus Christ as Savior, you're not on your way to heaven. You're still outside of Christ, and you're headed for hell. Do you know that there's going to be many people who have been baptized who are not going to make it to heaven? Oh, you want to be sure that you have confessed your sins and that you have cried out to the Lord Jesus to forgive you. And I like that tremendous verse, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so it was with Ishmael. Just because he was circumcised, he wasn't a child of God. Just because you're baptized doesn't make you a child of God. But let me say this. If you are a child of God, if you know that you're saved and you have eternal life, then you should be baptized. Now, we get baptized as believers to show to others that we belong to Jesus Christ. That's the purpose of our baptism, is to show that we belong to Him, that we know Him in a personal way. Well, we find that this circumcision took place right away. That's what I like about Abram, because Abram did as God asked him to do. And I suppose that's one of the reasons why we read in James chapter 2 in verse 23 where it says that Abram is called, or Abraham is called, the friend of God. What a great thing to be able to know that God is your friend. And you know He wants to be your friend. And we can take everything to Him in prayer. That's why we sang that song tonight. Yes, what a friend we have in Jesus. We can take everything, every one of our problems to Him in prayer. And Abraham could really, truly say
that God was his friend.
I'm so glad he's my friend and that I can call on him. I can pray to him at any time. Well, Abraham, he knew God in that personal way. And you know, when you have a friend, it's most interesting because you see, friends will tell you things in confidence. They'll talk to you about anything. And that's great to have a friend like that. And so we find that the Lord, he wanted to talk with Abraham as well. So one day, when Abraham was sitting outside his tent door in the heat of the day, having a siesta, because you see, in the Middle East, it's very hot. And there was Abraham sitting outside his tent door, resting a bit, and the rest of the people were resting as well, when all of a sudden, Abraham looked up and he saw three men standing out in the heat of the day. And Abraham had enough discernment to realize that one of them was the Lord himself with two heavenly visitors, two angels. And here we find that Abraham, he ran to meet them. I don't know how that grabbed you, but to me, it's interesting to see that a 99-year-old man could run to meet him. And when he ran out to meet him, he bowed down before him. I suppose Mrs. Palmer could do pretty good at 93, or you know, but the rest of us, we can't even do too well at our age. But you see, it was good that they ran out to meet him, that he did. And what he did is he invited them to come and to sit down under his shade tree. And he said to them, you wait for a while, and I'll have a meal for you. But the first thing that Abraham did is he washed their feet. That was the customary thing to do, is to wash the feet. And so we find that he did that. And then after he washed their feet, and by the way, it's the first time we read about washing the feet in the Word of God, and then he went into the tent, and he said to his wife, Sarah, he said, listen, right now we've got heavenly visitors, and we're going to prepare a meal for them. So make three measures of fine flour and knead it and make some hot cakes. And then he went out and he said to one of his young men, we'll take a calf and we'll kill it and we'll cut it up and we'll make some steaks so we can have some steaks to eat. Now, what I like about Abraham is that Abraham, even though he had the Lord visiting him, he did not feel he was above it so that he didn't have to do anything. Now, I want to say to you men, there's a lesson in this for you. You see, Abraham, he helped out in the cooking. He helped out in the setting of the table. For what Abraham did is he got for them the hot cakes that Sarah had made and the butter and the milk, and he got the steaks. He cooked the steaks and he brought it to them and he served them. I want to say again that Abraham just didn't sit down and talk with the Lord. He did the serving as well. Now, sometimes we criticize Martha too much because of her service. But I want to say that the Lord loved Martha just as much as he did Mary and Lazarus. You'll remember also that when Lazarus died, that the news came that the Lord Jesus was just outside the town. What did Martha do? She ran to meet him. What did Mary do? She sat in the house. Now look at my friends. It was good for Martha to run out to meet the Lord. But you see, before when the Lord rebuked her, her problem was not the serving. Her problem was is that she was cumbered about it, or she was troubled about it. Well, God wants us to do serving, but he doesn't want us to be troubled about it. And so we find that here, Abraham, he talked with the Lord, and They had a good time at this meal. And I like it. I don't know about you, but what I like about it is that the Lord ate. So did the angels. I believe that's one of the things that we're going to do in heaven, that we're going to eat. I think that's good. And we're not going to worry about the calories. We're not going to worry about the cholesterol problems or any other problems. We're going to enjoy the eating. Well, as they ate, the Lord said to Abram, "Where is your wife Sarah?" Now the Lord knew where Sarah was. She was right inside the tent. And Abraham said to him, "She's inside the tent." And the Lord said, "You know, Abram, next year, at this time, at this appointed time, she is going to have a baby." When Sarah heard that, because she was eavesdropping, of course, you women wouldn't do anything like that, but here was Sarah behind that tent door listening to the whole conversation. And as she was there and she heard the Lord say that she was going to have a baby next year at this time, when she was now 89 years of age, why, Sarah laughed within herself. And the Lord said, "Why did Sarah laugh?" And immediately what Sarah said is, "I didn't laugh." Oh, listen, my friends. God not only sees you, as we found out that Hagar said, but we find also that God knows our thoughts. God even knows what we do. And in this case, she didn't laugh out loud, pardon me, but the Lord knew that she laughed. And the Lord said, "Sarah, you laughed." Oh, I like that verse that we read tonight in Psalm 130. "O Lord, if thou regardest iniquity, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness before thee, that thou mayest be feared." Yes, God wants to forgive you. And I'm so glad that we read, by faith, Sarah, she believed. We read that in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Yes, by faith, Sarah, she believed what God had said. Well, God is true to His Word. And He told her that she was going to have a baby next year at this time. Well, the conversation continued. And then it says this, that the Lord began to talk to Himself and say, "Now, should I tell Abraham what I'm going to do, or should I not?" And the two angels got up to depart. And as I think about this, I always like it, because the fact when we read about the Lord talking to Himself, you know, I've done that. I don't know about you, but I've talked to myself, and I figure if the Lord can talk to Himself, then we ought to be able to talk to ourselves too. Now, and so there it was. The Lord talked to Himself, and He got up as well, and they started to go. The two angels, they headed towards Sodom and Gomorrah. That's where they were going. But when the Lord got up and was asking Himself, "Should I tell Abraham what I'm going to do, or should I not?" we find that He said to Abraham, "The wickedness of Sodom has come up before me." Now, if you'll remember in our lessons, that's where Lot lived. He was down there in Sodom. And the Lord said, "The sin has gotten so bad, I'm going to destroy the city of Sodom and Gomorrah." Oh, how sad. They were going to be wiped out with fire and brimstone. And as He told Abram that, Abraham said, "But Lord, if there are 50 righteous there, certainly you wouldn't destroy the land for 50 righteous sake, would you?" And the Lord said, "No, Abraham, if I can find 50 people who are righteous in my sight, I'll not destroy it.
But Abraham knew how wicked that city was. And he thought about it and he said, but Lord, maybe there's only 45 righteous. Would you spare the city for 45's sake? Yes, said the Lord. If I can find 45 that are righteous in that city, I'll spare it. But the more that Abraham thought about it, and when he knew how wicked that city was, he said to the Lord, maybe there's only 40 righteous there. Would you spare the city for 40's sake? And the Lord said, yes, Abraham, if I can find 40 people who are righteous there, I'll spare it for 40's sake. I like that verse that we read in Peter where it says, the Lord is not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. And as Abraham thought about it, he said, but Lord, maybe there's only 30 that are righteous there in the city. Would you spare it for 30's sake? And the Lord said, yes, Abraham, if I can find 30 righteous there, I'll spare the city. And as they continued to walk, Abraham, knowing how wicked and evil that city was, he said, the Lord, maybe there's only 20 that are righteous there. Will you spare it for 20's sake? Yes, Abraham. If I can find 20 righteous there in the city, I'll spare it for 20's sake. And he said, Lord, I'm only going to ask one more time. If you could find 10 righteous there, would you spare it for 10's sake? Yes, Abraham, if I can find 10 righteous people in that city, I'll spare it for 10's sake. Abraham didn't ask anymore. And the Lord didn't promise anymore. Oh, may that be a lesson for us, fellows and girls and men and women, because you know there might be someone right here in this room that's been praying for another person that they might get saved, that they might recognize that because of their sin, they're headed for destruction. They're headed for everlasting damnation in the place called hell. Oh, listen, that a person that you might continue to pray for them, that they would come to know Christ in a personal way because of what He did. Oh, listen, they can be saved if they will call upon Him. But Abraham stopped asking, and the Lord stopped promising. You see, that city was loaded with sin. Why, somebody has said that if the Lord doesn't judge America because of our sin, of homosexuality, which was so strong there in Sodom and Gomorrah, that He would have to apologize to them. Oh, how sad it is when we stop to think of the people today, how they flaunt it. And as you look throughout the country where they have parades, and they're not ashamed about this sin of homosexuality. But I want to make it very clear that God's Word says that it is sin. Yes, when it comes to sex, it was God who ordained it. It was God who said that it was a good thing between a husband and wife. But any relationship of sex outside of a husband and wife relationship, it is sin. Now, I don't care what they teach you in school, how that it's an alternate lifestyle or whatever they might say. God's Word makes it very clear that it is sin. And this place was loaded with it. They were loaded with all kinds of homosexuals, lesbians, and the whole works.
right here in this city of Sodom and Gomorrah. And God said, yes, that He was going to destroy that city. Well, we find there is the place that Lot went to. In fact, I told you in our other lesson that Lot was a believer. You'd never know it from reading the book of Genesis. But according to 2 Peter chapter 2, there we find that he was a believer, that he knew God in a personal way, but his righteous soul was vexed every day. Now what that means is that he was troubled every day. Every day he was troubled. Oh, listen, as we talked about a couple weeks ago, that if you really know Christ as your Savior and you sin, it should trouble you. And if you're not troubled about your sin that you do, then you ought to ask yourself, am I really saved? That's a good question for anyone to ask themselves. Am I really, truly one of His? Oh, sin should bother you. Well, here was Lot sitting at the gate of Sodom and Gomorrah. There he was as one of the elders. And every day, his righteous soul was vexed. Well, we find that the two angels, they came. Now, these two angels, when they came, they looked like ordinary men to all the other people. But as soon as Lot saw them, he knew that they were heavenly visitors. And so we find that what Lot did is he got up to meet these two angels that came to the gate of Sodom. And when they came there, Lot said to them, come to my house. And he was very gracious. He gave them an invitation to come to his home, to have a meal and to stay the night. And they said, thank you, but no thanks. You see, the Lord didn't come here. The two angels were sent to do this. And Lot said, yes, I want you to come. But they said, we'll stay out in the streets. Well, you can't do that, said Lot. This is a dangerous place. No way can you stay in the streets. It's not safe. Oh, he knew how evil the city was. Now, it's the first time in the Word of God that we read the word street. The first time is here. And we find that the street is evil and wicked. But you know, the last time that we read about the word street in the Word of God is found in Revelation 21 and 22. And there we read how the street is going to be paved with gold. Oh my, what a day that's going to be. When we walk on the street of gold that we're going to find in heaven. That's the last time we find the word street. But Lot said, you can't stay out here in the street. Why, evil will come upon you. And so he urged them, and they decided to go home with Lot. Now, I want to say that Lot and his wife were very gracious, and they put on a feast, the Word of God says. But it's different because the Spirit of God doesn't talk too much about it as he did about Abraham's feast. The only thing that is mentioned for the meal that they gave is the unleavened bread that they gave. Now, it's true that at Abraham's house, that's what they had, was unleavened bread, too. Leavened bread, not unleavened. Leavened bread, which speaks to us of sin, leaven, how it puffs up. But, you see, both of them had the same kind of bread, but that's the only thing that is mentioned here in Scripture is about the leavened bread that we find at Lot
and his wife gave. Is that a strong reminder of the problem that Lot had? Well, nevertheless, we find that they had a meal for them, and they ate there that meal. And then we find that the meal was hardly over when the homosexuals came pounding at Lot's door. There they were. Now, one thing we're going to find out in these lessons about Lot is that Lot's good quality was this, that he was courageous. He was bold. He went, opened the door, and he began to speak to him after he shut the door. And he said to him, when he found out that they wanted to have those two men that came into his house, why, they said, "You let us have those men that we can use them." Then Lot turns and says to them, "Brethren, don't do so wickedly." Now, why he ever called them brethren, I don't understand. Because they were evil men. But he said, "Brethren, don't do so wickedly." And they said to him, "Who made you a judge over us? You came to sojourn or pass through the land, and now you're going to tell us what we should do? You bring those two men out so that we can know them and use them. And if you don't, we'll do worse to you than we will to them." Then of all things, Lot said to those men, "Look, I have two girls inside this house with me, two daughters. You can have them. You can do whatever you want with them." How low Lot had stooped. Oh, listen, my friends. When you turn your back on God and you don't follow His ways, you're going to find out that you can get into all kinds of problems, just like Lot did. And to think how low he reached to offer his two daughters to that crowd. Well, as Lot was trying to reason with them, what the two angels did is they opened up the door and they pulled Lot in. And when they pulled Lot in, they shut the door. And then the next thing that those two angels did is they blinded the men. Those homosexuals that came there, they were blinded. They couldn't see. They couldn't find the door because they were blinded. Well, these men were already blinded in their minds. You know what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4? It says, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." They were already blinded in the minds. Oh, how sad when you stop to think of it, how many people are blind in their minds. Yes, these men were blinded in their minds, and now these men, they were blinded in their eyes. Oh, I want to apply that tonight. Because you see, fellows and girls and men and women, now is the day of salvation. Now is the time for you to come to know Christ as your personal Savior, the one who shed His blood for your sins. Now is the day to accept Him. If you put it off and say, "No, I don't want Him as my Savior," why, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, and He's coming back because that's what He said He will do. He's coming back for His own. He's going to come with a shout. And every fellow and girl and man and woman who has put their trust in the blood of Jesus Christ is going to be caught up to meet Him in the air. Now, it's not going to be the end of this world. No. This world is still going to go on. But if you have rejected Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you don't want anything to do with it, then you will not get saved after the rapture takes place, after he comes for his own. No, even though you might be alive, because what the Word of God says, for this cause God shall send them strong delusions that they may believe a lie, that they all may be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Oh, you see, today is the day for you to come to know Christ as Savior. If you have questions about that, you ask me. I'll be glad to help you, or one of the counselors here, every eye closed and head bowed. Father, again, how we thank you that the offer of salvation is still available. We think of people who are blinded in their minds. We pray, Lord, that their eyes would be open tonight to see that Jesus Christ wants to be their Savior. We thank you for what you've done, how you came to this earth to die for our sins. So, Lord, I pray for each one in this room that they might know what it is to have their sins forgiven and on their way to heaven. And then, Lord, for those who do, we pray that they'll live for you and not be like Lot, but make the right choices in life. Bless us as we separate, for we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Lights are on and you're dismissed.